Chris, how big of a computer monitor is too big?
I mean, do you get to a place where it's like diminishing returns, right? Like there's too much real estate.
Yeah, you know, I think there are some people that would really prefer to have a whole like wall full of monitor. But for me, that's just too much.
Well, it's kind of like televisions. It just seems like a bigger one would be better. I've got two external displays or whatever. I have now rotated one of those into portrait.
So what do you use that for?
I got the main monitor that I do like when I'm actively working, right? It's like the active screen. And then the portrait one has email and Teams stacked.
And what's your third one then?
I do have an iPad that sits here open.
Yeah, maybe that's where you stream YouTube videos.
Welcome to Touchpoint, a podcast dedicated to discussions on digital marketing and patient engagement strategies for hospitals, health systems, and physician practices. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into digital tools, solutions, and strategies that are impacting our industry today. We hope to share a lot of great information with you and have fun along the way. Thanks for joining us. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Touchpoint. Welcome to episode number 375. Seems like an important number. I don't know, maybe just because it ends in 75.
Yeah, it seems like a good, like, kind of, I wouldn't say a round number.
Like a mid-level milestone or like a sub-milestone of some sort.
We're 3/4 of the way to episode 400.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for yet another week of Touchpoint. Quick plug for the website, touchpoint.health. As you all know, repeat after me. You can sign up for the TPS report there. So again, 5 articles, kick off your week, hopefully a little value add. So we'll pause, give you a little bit of a break here, let you jump over, sign up for the TPS report if you have not, or rate, review, subscribe, tell some friend, take a minute, email somebody. Still the number one way that people find out about the show, a little word of mouth. So appreciate all the support. We'll pause here and be back with today's show. Chris, in today's digital age, your online reputation, as we all know, is crucial. With customers relying on online reviews, your first impression is also compared directly with your competitors.
Sure is. And Reid, consider this. 86% of patients today read online reviews, and 73% demand that that healthcare provider has a minimum 4-star rating.
Demand. They demand it.
Yeah, they do.
Well, to stand out, choose reputation to help amplify your brand and to build trust. Be the provider of choice in your area, understand patient sentiment, get actionable insights, and even foster patient loyalty.
And look, here's the easy way you could do that. All you need to do is go visit reputation.com/touchpoint. That's reputation.com/touchpoint, where you can download their healthcare online reputation management guide and build a reputation that performs for you. Okay, Reid, I'm excited about today's show because I always like to tackle terms or topics that we use that are kind of flipped around all the time in our space, but are really not properly understood. And so to me, it's like going deep into what does this actually mean? And today is actually stemming from a conversation with some marketing people the other day, and they all said, well, we want to go digital first. You know, inevitably, when you say that, you're like, okay, I get it. I understand that. But ask 15 different people, you're going to get 15 different answers about what that means. So it kind of spawned this idea of our podcast today.
I like it. I feel like we have been digital first, or people assume we are. I mean, just by definition of what we've done historically.
But what does that actually mean, right? What does digital first mean? Is that the same thing as digital only? And what are the characteristics? So we kind of put together kind of a good conversational topic today for us to go through. So I'm kind of excited to dive in. Should we start first, Reid, by trying to define this concept of digital first?
Yeah, and I don't think it necessarily means digital only, although I don't have any paper or anything to write with. maybe I am digital only, but digital first, by definition, would mean that you're prioritizing the idea of digital or digital technologies
or ways of doing things, right? Delivering products, services, experiences, et cetera. And you're emphasizing those channels in particular. Within our case, you know, the consumer, or maybe it's B2B or something like that. But it's prioritization of that technology, strategy, design, execution, et cetera.
It's also looking at digital solutions as a primary way that you interact with your patients, your customers. Also, internally, how you optimize operations and even on the delivery side, right? So when in our space, when we think about like telemedicine or online appointment scheduling or digital therapeutics or remote patient monitoring, these are kind of all of those technical terms that kind of fall under this concept of digital first.
Can this be everywhere in the organization? Can you be digital first regardless of where you're sitting?
I would say that in some cases, some positions, some roles that you have may not be primarily digital first, but digital is certainly part of productivity, part of understanding what your role is. So while it may be like a secondary piece of this, digital first means adopting, let's say, the ability to check in if you have a day shift, to check in through digital means. That doesn't necessarily require that you go take a badge up to a wall and swipe it. Or you get communications in a digital medium from your intranet and things like that.
Well, along those lines, what are those elements, kind of those key elements of when you're thinking about being digital first, like how does that play out?
So close to our hearts here is customer engagement. Mm-hmm. Digital first companies who use these online platforms like websites or digital experience platforms, mobile apps, social media, or whatever it might be, they look at digital engagement as a critical part of engaging with the customers and keeping them aligned to be loyal with your organization. That's why you and I spend a lot of time talking about digital as a medium, because we really believe it's an underpinning of a good digital experience or a good experience that someone has with our organization.
Yeah, I would even go past even just consumer engagement and say that it's fueled to some extent by operations, right? So how are you using digital technologies and all the areas of business? You know, this could be experience related in a lot of cases, right? But internal operations or customer facing. So I think most people probably have gotten their arms around the idea of like internal operations, you know, being focused on automation or digital, or especially in like the manufacturing world and things like that, but could be experience based as well.
Yeah. Another good example there would be like digital recruitment onboarding strategies, right? We've been spending a lot of time supporting our HR colleagues about how to make it easier for people to onboard as a new employee or to stay engaged, right, as an existing employee using digital means. Underlying all of this is that redheaded stepchild of digital data. Because we know everything digital is measurable, data-driven decision-making is a critical part of a digital-first company. Leveraging analytics, leveraging insights to guide strategic decisions, to even understand how customers interact with you or behave, and ultimately leading to the big thing that we were trying to do, which is develop personalized experiences through these digital means.
You know, another kind of key piece of all of this is the ability to adapt. A lot of that's driven by the entrepreneurial nature or even innovation within a company. But if you're going to be digital first, just by definition, that means you're going to be trying new things, right? More often than not, maybe kind of out in front, maybe not the very front, but you're on the, you know, kind of front edge of a lot of this, especially as it relates to technology. So how do you adapt? There's some change management work in there, things like that. But when you're bringing in new ideas, technology, process, et cetera, you know, you're doing that to try to create a better experience or whatever it may be. So yeah, I think that's another big piece of this is just the change management or the adaptability related to it all.
So I think that innovation adaptability piece kind of leads to, we did an episode a number of months ago around the three major digital strategies, digital experience strategies, digital transformation, and digital innovation. See, that then ties it all together in a digital first company. Let's hit on a couple of other things though, that are elements that define a digital first organization. Employee engagement is a great one. Gone are the days of the old intranet. There are new tools that we could use digitally to enhance collaboration, communication, productivity. It's all about supporting a new work environment that, by the way, is maybe not the old work environment that we had prior to the pandemic, because we have some people that are not working in the office, but we still have to engage with them. Or we have people that traditionally don't log into an intranet every day to get their news. So how do we reach them on their mobile devices in a way that's not intrusive? It's all about employee empowerment through digital platforms. And empowerment is a two-way street. It's not just communicating to them, but giving them the ability to kind of feed back into ways that we can better collaborate, better work together. That's the whole point of a digital-first organization.
You know, maybe point out one more thing here, which is just appetite. You know, a lot of this is about prioritization, right? But this appetite around how important is it, i.e. how much money are you willing to spend? Investment is a big deal. Most of this stuff, because it is technology driven, is not inexpensive in a lot of cases, certainly not free. Having that appetite or that ability to prioritize this and willing to spend money is a big piece of that.
I mean, in this day and age, that's the most important thing here. And don't get us wrong. We know that at health systems, that kind of that core infrastructure technology platforms like the EMRs, websites, and things that you know you need as an operational necessity, email platforms, you know, Microsoft, whatever, those things get a lot of money every year in the budget. But we're also talking about strategic digital investment in newer ways to achieve those other elements that we talked about above. But there's a lot of great conversations that we're having now at many levels about saying, well, what would it take to do this? And what's the impact of the organization in defining the business value of your digital investment? But I think an important thing here, Reed, though, and you kind of alluded to it, is being digital first doesn't mean you're neglecting non-digital channels. It rather ensures that digital is the leading consideration in strategy development and execution. You need a call center. You need in-person nurses. You need that in-person touch point with your patients or your potential patients. It has to be there. But really, what we're talking about digital first is kind of over-indexing. I wouldn't say over-indexing. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. Prioritizing digital as a way to communicate and interact. So there's some other characteristics about digital first versus digital only that might be good for us to kind of go through.
Yeah, maybe kind of side by side comparison here a little bit. And I think by definition, this is not a huge stretch. Like people can probably sitting in their car or whatever right now think I have a decent idea of what digital first versus digital only means. Prioritization versus the one and only. Digital first means it may or may not ultimately be digital, but you're prioritizing the idea of it and the use and the technologies and those types of things versus this is all we're doing and this is the tool set you have to work with.
We're never going to be an Amazon in health systems, right? Because Amazon is a digital only channel. Well, actually now I'm stand corrected, because they are starting to do things in real life, right? They're integrating with Whole Foods and they're introducing stores, but they've traditionally been a digital only company, right? That's the only way you can transact with them. It's a big difference. Here's another one that's a characteristic that's a little bit different. With digital first companies, the strategy acknowledges the importance of physical channels and human interactions and integrating them with digital solutions for that comprehensive approach. By definition, if you're a digital first company, you have to be flexible and adapt to your customers and employees' needs and preferences as they vary. We're not going to say you only do a Facebook or a Google search campaign for every type of service line that you're trying to promote. In some cases, service lines that you want to promote may be a physician-to-physician outreach that is more personal in nature and more in-person, so to speak. But with digital-only companies, there's little or no integration of traditional methods. The business model and customer interactions are confined to online platforms. And that's a limiting factor. If you think about things like Amazon's clinic, right, that they're launching, they realize they can't be digital only. they need to be partnering with others. Even Mark Cuban recently announced a partnership with a health system because there has to be that integration with in-person care as well as online.
That really kind of leads into a third point here, which is the audience or the consumer. If you're looking at from a digital first landscape, you're really going to the consumer and constantly evolving around what it is that they want and the experience that they expect. And while you're prioritizing the idea of digital, to your point, it may bear out of more of a hybrid approach or have some traditional or physical experiences mixed in there. Whereas when you're looking at digital only, you've already made the call, right? Like you're saying, I already know who my audience is, and I'm only going to serve up needs to this particular group in a certain way, because you're not going to be able to catch, you know, or cast as broad of a net when you're saying it's a digital only strategy or tactic or whatever it is. I think that's a little bit of a nuance there as well.
It's important to know that when we say digital first, don't default to we're only going to do digital. We are prioritizing digital, but we are also understanding what our customers, what our employees, what everybody needs in order to make this digital experience work. It's silly for us to say that we're not digital organizations, because every employee has a digital device that they carry around with them. Most employees have digital computers that are issued to them. So we have digital. It's just really prioritizing digital as a better way to interact. So why don't we take a break here, Reed? We'll come back, and I'd love for us to dive into another topic, which is how does a digital-first organization align with a digital front door strategy? And we'll do that right after this brief pause.
Coming soon from Greystone, Bowstring, and Touchpoint Media, live from HCIC, a new podcast that brings you front row access to the latest innovative strategies that are shaping tomorrow's healthcare industry. In this 12-part series, as recorded live at the Healthcare Internet Conference, we'll hear from industry experts such as Paul Mattson of the Cleveland Clinic, Kathy Smith of Roper St. Francis Healthcare, David Feinberg from Mount Sinai Health System, Rose Glenn from Michigan Medicine, and many others. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting platform. This podcast series is brought to you by Greystone.net, Bowstring, and Touchpoint Media.
So digital front door, not a new concept. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show probably, and I know we've had episodes even with that in the title.
In fact, episode 183 from August of 2020 said the digital front door is neither just digital nor a front door. That's a good one. We'll link to it in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to it. But yeah, digital front door is kind of a weird concept.
You just have that top of mind, 183 from whenever. I mean, just right off the top.
I may have researched that.
Yeah. So again, this idea of the digital front door aligning with the concept of a digital first organization. Again, if we're prioritizing the technologies, the platforms, the strategies, et cetera, how does that kind of line up? Digital front door probably means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but I think conceptually we kind of get this idea that people access, or the access is driven through, you know, what is in essence digital. So I think by definition, the digital front door is a product of being digital first.
If you think about digital front door, right, it's about accessing, people getting access to your organization through digital means, online appointment scheduling, being able to search for doctors and schedule appointments, being able to pay their bills, all of these different things. By prioritizing these digital interactions, you are aligning to some of those previous things we talked about in the first part of the show, improving patient engagement, prioritizing digital, streamlining care journeys, other things. But there are other ways that we can talk about digital first principles in a digital front door strategy, Reed.
Centralization being a big piece of that, right? So if you're thinking about your digital front door as kind of this consolidated access point of how people engage and interact with the system and schedule services and, you know, those types of things, that is true, right? But you've got to think about all the connectivity there and what that means. Appointment scheduling is a really good example. In a lot of cases, a digital first strategy, what that ultimately plays out to mean is something like primary care, you could in a digital fashion make that scheduling appointment without talking to anybody or consulting anybody. But if you're needing a specialist or a follow-up appointment, well, you may have to talk to somebody. It's this idea of how do we engage the folks and provide an experience that in this case is digital first, not digital only.
The centralization is an important part of this too, right? Because you have to standardize that experience to a certain extent when you go down this route. Another characteristic to think about is this idea of patient engagement, but enhancing it. When you think about like all the different disparate digital channels that are out there, mobile apps, websites, social media platforms, patient portals, et cetera, the rollouts of those technologies are led by different departments. In this particular case, when you look at a digital front door strategy, you're looking holistically over these platforms in order to find out the best way to enhance that experience. Optimizing the handoff from going to your website to look for a doctor to then scheduling or finding an appointment for that doctor to then scheduling the doctor appointment to then going in care and getting your follow-up appointments through your patient portal. If you look at that as a holistic patient experience, that really allows you to get that deeper engagement with your patients and making it so much easier.
It's a great point. And again, kind of leads into the next thing I'll call out, which is the consumer journey or how people find care, maybe the care journey. The digital front door does facilitate or provide access to this continuum. So you think about like symptom checkers or chatbots or triage or even just how we're engaging people in search and bringing them in. Being digital first allows people to take some level of control over this journey, right? So we see it with the EHRs right now where there is like a care journey component to that. It's not just 100% read your test results. How do we use some of these tools and this digital front door to make things a little easier, reduce that friction?
And again, you know, thinking about these above characteristics we talked about before, bringing them into the care journey. This is where it goes away from the marketing suite and it goes into clinical and operations. Data-driven insights, we talked about that before, but that's really important. A digital front door strategy allows hospitals to collect and analyze data on how patients are using your digital front door. And then you can use that to improve your digital front door. You can also use it to improve service delivery or operational efficiency. For example, I know one health system, they were going down the path of implementing online appointment scheduling for just primary care. And they found out that within the primary care environment, they had at least 100 different appointment types within the backend systems. The digital front door experience was so muddled because of that, that they realized they had to improve the backend operations in order to improve that. And they used data from how people were scheduling online appointments to help improve that experience.
When you're talking about experience, it's not far to pull that into expectations. If you think about what the consumer is looking for, it's not, they're not comparing us to the other health systems. They're comparing us to just everything else that they engage with, the Chick-fil-A app or their kid's school or their church or whatever, whatever they're doing at their own employer. What is that expectation? In most cases, not all, but it needs to be digital first because that is the expectation. Marty, our CEO that was on a few weeks ago, talks about the fact that I think one of his sons told him one time that if he has to talk to someone, something has gone wrong.
Right.
Right. So expectation, it's not the same for everybody. That's why it's not digital only.
Okay. Here's something that we've talked about before with a digital front door about expanding access to care to remote location. Think about like the reach that a good digital front door can do. Saying that is very simple. If we have a good digital front door, we can roll that out. But everything else clinically and operationally has to align with that as well. If you're trying to attract patients in a rural environment and provide them online appointment scheduling to maybe a virtual care setting, inevitably there's going to be that connection through to, okay, now I want to go see one of the specialists that I'm talking to. How do you play that through? Again, digital first organizations can sort of look at that in a holistic manner to say, look, this is a great opportunity to provide care to people that in the past haven't had a lot of access to that care.
Well, one last thing, I'll kind of go back to what something we called out earlier, but this idea of adaptation and innovation. And so we've got to be able to adapt to the expectations. Therefore, that fuels the need for innovation. It's really hard to say what's going to happen 6 months, a year, 2 years from now. We're talking about generative AI right now, but I mean, we all know that's just the flavor of the month. There's going to be something new, different, changing. And so how do we continue to evolve and innovate our approach, the technology itself, et cetera, as we look at what the expectation might be for the consumer?
Absolutely. Because consumer expectations, we know, change all the time. And so we have to be on top of it. Does that mean in 3 years, we're going to be talking about Apple Vision Pro being the way to access care? Who knows, right? We don't know, right?
But 100%, all care will be delivered through Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
By doing that, though, you have to stay appraised of what your consumers' expectations are and also your employees, which kind of naturally leads to the third part of today's conversation, which we'll do after this break, where we talk about how adopting a digital-first strategy is really an adoption of change management strategy, because you and I both know, Reid, technology is the easiest part of digital-first. It's changing us as people within the organization to get there. So we'll talk about that after this next pause.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So we've talked about digital first versus digital only. We talked about digital front door and how it kind of interrelates with the digital first strategy. But let's be fair here. Becoming a digital first organization is hard. It's very hard to do. So this last section, let's drill into the non-digital aspects of a digital first strategy, which is change management.
Everybody's favorite. Well, first and foremost, I think you have to have alignment. So, and that starts at the top. You've got to have the folks running and guiding and leading and building the organization aligned with what the concept, the idea, the consumer's perception and need and all of that. Doesn't do a whole lot of good if you're constantly having to run around and twist everybody's arm to do every little thing. There's the strategic alignment, and then there's resource alignment. We talked about investment earlier. So again, just getting anybody to say, yeah, I agree, this is a good idea, we should do this. Great. Have to do that. But then, you know, somebody's got to put their money where their mouth is, whether that's people, time, actual dollars, whatever it may be, to really support and aid in the change management effort.
I think you can't underscore enough the top-down buy-in in becoming digital first is critical. And I think you're a little bit blessed, Reid, where you're at, because Marty gets it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and that really helps. After you get leadership buy-in and you have sort of the executive sponsor and you have the resources to go down this path, you have to start getting the staff, getting everybody involved. And that includes engaging them in the ideation and the solution and also all the necessary training. When we look at like developing a governance structure around adopting digital leadership, you have not only the people that are kind of coming up with the ideas of what the strategy could look like, but you have to have connectives into the organization itself through like the clinical and the operations and the nursing staff or whatever it might be, because you know that when you roll out a new technology, that not all of those employees are going to be eagerly embracing it. Let's just put it that way. You have to identify what those skill gaps are and don't roll out a solution that's a little bit too advanced for them until you can bring them up to speed on what those competencies are. It's a cultural shift too, Reid, because what you're talking about here is adopting a digital mindset where digital solutions are the first consideration. And a lot of times people tend to want to go back to the way they've always been doing it. So getting staff not only trained, but engaged in the solution. And part of that is involving them in some of the ideations, in some of the ideas that you might be wanting to embrace in the future.
Once you've done all that, now you've got to communicate, right? So communicate, communicate, communicate. I think I heard somebody say this the other day, but like, you know, the communication is starting to land when people think you're crazy. Like you've repeated this so many times at this point, kind of a thing, right? But it's like, what's the vision? What are we trying to do? What's the why? You know, why are we doing this? And then getting people engaged through maybe the governance structure or regular feedback and beta testing and process and, kind of that feedback loop, if you will, give them some sense of ownership and collaboration through this. I mean, you may have the idea, but I don't care how smart you are, you're not going to be able to do this all yourself and solve for everything, right? So you've got to be able to communicate the why, understand what the win looks like or the goals that you're driving towards, and then ultimately, how do you get people involved and engaged?
And that kind of leads then to, how do you redefine the way they do their work? How do you implement new workflows? It's process reengineering, always a fun thing to do. Sounds as daunting as it is. But really, just looking at where your digital tools are, a simple thing to do, right, is to look at how you're doing the work now. And if you were to overlay a digital solution that might be designed to help improve maybe your call centers or what have you, work to redefine what that workflow looks like. I will say here, the big trick here is don't boil the ocean. Try to implement pilot projects to test out these new initiatives, because you're going to gain a lot from the insights that you learn as you're implementing it. So like many organizations, they don't roll out online appointment scheduling across all of their organization at first. They focus on certain aspects of it because it makes for a more successful adoption.
The next thing, I mentioned goals earlier, but really monitoring and measuring success. And then maybe not pivot, but how do you continue to get feedback through those, feedback loops, like I mentioned, but really then let that inform where we continue to drive and go. So be real clear about what the win is. What are we looking at to measure and know if this is successful or not? Now with digital, you should have plenty of opportunity to come up with what those KPIs or OKRs are. Anyway, and then look at that, continue to involve folks, get that feedback, be willing and flexible enough to adapt and move towards what seems to be working and what, again, if you're focused on the consumer, kind of what you're seeing and hearing back.
That feedback is so important. It's not lost on us that we're 5 points into this and we haven't talked about technology yet. Well, number six is technology, right? You do have to look at your technology. You have to evaluate what you currently have. Are you using it the right way? Are there any duplicates in work that you're doing? And also take into consideration, you can't roll out things that are going to be at risk or that can compromise cybersecurity, right? Because we know that that's a top of mind here. We want to make sure that you look at your technology infrastructure. I know that a lot of organizations that are starting to think about digital first, I've worked with them and saying, let's lay out everything that you currently use within your job right now to identify where there may be some duplications. Are we using two different email outreach platforms? How are we managing social media? How are we measuring successes? Are there ways to consolidate and close some gaps that might be there in from your technology?
Doing all of this is going to lead you down a path of, you're going to have certain people that are like, this is the greatest thing ever. I can't believe we didn't do this before now. And you're a hero. I'm overstating a touch. I don't think anybody's going to call me a hero. But anyway, you're going to have people that are in your corner. Then you're also going to have people that don't get it, have concerns, push back. Some of those will just be quiet and just kind of sit over to the side and don't help. Kind of a thing, right? But then other people are going to be, openly vocal about we should be doing something different. And so, again, you've got to understand how to take those advocates and leverage that information, their feedback, their willingness, and allow them to become a champion and drive a lot of this work, which really then goes against the idea of the concerns that are out there. So, again, you want to be transparent. You want to be able to talk to concerns and objections, but also provide support and again, kind of give those advocates a runway.
Yeah, most people don't like to change. just generally, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What we're doing here through change management is giving some guidance around ways that we can embrace change a little less roughly than it usually happens. So, but all of these things all combined together kind of are important elements to think about when you want to become digital first. And so we'd love to hear from you listeners listening in. What are your thoughts? What have we missed? How have you approached going digital first? Are you digital first? That's probably a better question, right? Because I think many people would say we're not digital first yet, but we're on our path to get there. We'd love to hear about that. We'd love to maybe even, you know, have a conversation with you and share it with our audience. So why don't you reach out to us? So with that, Reid, why don't we take a break and then we'll come back to close out the show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, Chris, another good show, great topic, and one we'll continue to build off of, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. Quick plug for the website, touchpoint.health, the TPS report, and then certainly rating, review, subscribe, wherever you happen to be listening. Reach out to us on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you and love to see you in person. If you'll notice, the TPS report also has a few links at the bottom to upcoming industry conferences. The next one, the Healthcare Marketing Physician Strategy Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, over at the Palace of Caesar. We'll be there. There's going to be a lot going on. Anyway, short of it is, let us know if you're going to be there. We'd love to connect and catch up. So find us on LinkedIn. Let us know you're going to be there.
I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. It's going to be a great event. Okay, Reid, shall we turn to our recommendations?
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend a television show that I just started to watch. During the day, I'm working a lot and then, you know, taking care of my little son. We don't get a lot of screen time, but when we do, which is usually between 8 o'clock and 9:30 when we fall asleep, my wife and I, we like to watch television shows just to unwind. And we just came across a new one that the first episode just debuted, and we're looking forward to watching it on HBO or Max, I guess, as they call it. It's a new miniseries called The Regime. It's a political satire television miniseries. It stars Kate Winslet, Martha Plimpton, and Hugh Grant is in it as well. Basically, it's about a nebulous middle European country that has an authoritarian regime. And America is trying to bring their companies in to take advantage of their natural resources, their mining resources, and how this regime, led by Kate Winslet, by the way, is going to respond to it. And even the first episode was really, really dark humor, but you could tell it's going to be one of those shows that you're going to talk about at the water cooler.
Nice.
Or the virtual water cooler, I guess, if you're a digital first organization. I really like Max, or the formerly known as HBO. I think they always do some really good programming, and this one promises to be right out of the gate. I've only seen the first episode called Victory Day, but by the time this podcast runs, a couple of other episodes will be out. So strongly recommend it. That's what I'm going to suggest this week.
Nice. Very good. Always looking for another show or another series to start, so check it out. I am going to recommend an item from Lego that is not a Lego set.
Oh,
it's called How We Create, and it's an inspiration deck. It's 78 cards. So they're a little bit bigger than like a playing card, you know, like a deck of cards. But it's called How We Create. It's a little box. It has all these cards in there. And if you look in there, it basically, there are four different types of cards. There's one around motivation. So what drives you to create and keep creating? There's a section around inspiration. Where and when do you feel most creative? Memories and mentors, how does the past inform you? And then challenges and obstacles, when are blocks really bridges? And what this is they went around to the colleagues there at Lego and asked them these questions, you know, what drives you to create and keep creating, right? And so each of these cards has a response based on what the question they were asked and who said it, right? So like an e-com marketing manager may have a comment around what keeps them motivated, right? And so in this deck, you've got a couple of things, and there's some instructions in here on how to use it, right? But there are 54 inspiration cards and then 24 building prompts, plus like some instructions or whatever. So anyway, it's cool. If you're looking for something that's just neat to kind of keep on your desk and to flip through and grab a little inspiration throughout the day or the week, it's neat. You can find it on Amazon. I'm sure you can order it a number of different places, but it's called How We Create from Lego.
I love it. You know, I actually just added that to my Amazon shopping list this week. A friend of mine suggested that to use it.
Very, very cool. Well, that is my recommendation for the week, but good show, good ideas. Again, TPS report, the Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategy. Let us know if you're going to be there. We'd love to hear from you. For Chris Boyer, I'm Reed Smith, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a Touchpoint Media production. To learn more about this show and others like it, please visit us online at touchpoint.health.